Today I want to speak from a passage that is a very famous and well-known passage amongst Christians. And perhaps amongst non-believers, this is also a passage that may be known. And so today we want to turn to John chapter 3 verse 16. And the title of today's sermon is simply Life. So why don't we turn our Bibles to John chapter 3 verse 16. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, one of these blue Bibles, we're looking at page 888. 888. We'll be looking at just one verse today. I'll read for us. This is the reading of God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let me read that one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. The promise that we see in today's passage is about eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. You'll be able to live forever. And we're not just speaking figuratively, we're speaking in a literal sense. You will be able to live forever if you believe in Jesus Christ. Now I want to start off with a question, which is, do you want to live forever? This is an interesting question because I think that initially maybe some of us will say yes, right away. Some of us might say no, we don't want to live forever. And I know that each of you have your own reasons as to why you answer in the way that you do. There are people in this world that really do want to live forever. For example, there's this man here. His name was Peter Scott Morgan. And maybe some of you have seen this article. Maybe some of you guys have heard of this person. According to Wikipedia, I looked up his name. And it's originally because I actually saw this news article that came out about 2 or 3 years ago. And Peter Scott Morgan is an English-American author. He's a scientist and an expert in robotics. And he had motor, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce the second word, neuron or neurone, there's supposed to be an E at the end, motor neurone disease. It's the same disease that Stephen Hawking, some of you guys may know about Stephen Hawking, a very famous atheist. It's the same disease that he had. And as a result, being a scientist, but also having this disease, and an expert in robotics, he came into the news, he became famous for wanting to be a human cyborg. He wanted to connect his body in multiple ways to computers and to AI so that somehow he could go on living. And he, because he lost a lot of functionality in his body, he actually started to connect his body to the computer with the help of other people, of course. And he even made an AI image, an avatar. I know that AI and avatar are different, but he made an avatar of himself so that when he wasn't able to express certain emotions on his physical face, he would be able to express those emotions on the computer avatar face. So he did these things. And his hope was that his body, even if he was not able to go on living, that his existence would continue on in the computer. Sadly, he passed away last year. Now, The thing that we want to think about as we hear about this person is that he inherently had an understanding that it was important, for some reason, it was important to continue living. For him, living forever was certainly a goal. Now, when we look at today's passage, John 3:16, it's a famous passage, but perhaps a lot of people don't know the context. They don't know what's going on in chapter 3. And so if you actually have your Bibles open, you can look at John chapter 3. And in the very beginning of the chapter, a man named Nicodemus is introduced. In the very beginning of chapter 3, it starts off in this way. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." You see, Nicodemus was not just a character that's found in the Bible, but he was a real man that lived in the Middle East about 2,000 years ago, and he sought a similar thing as Peter Scott Morgan. He lived at the same time that Jesus lived. And so this picture, if it's not very clear, it's a picture, not an actual picture, it's a drawing of Nicodemus meeting with Jesus Christ at nighttime, just as the passage said. Now, at this time, Nicodemus wasn't really sure about Jesus. He wasn't really sure what Jesus was all about, but he heard and he saw himself about how Jesus did these miracles, these incredible acts. And so because of these things, he just started thinking, there must be something about Jesus. He wouldn't be able to do these miracles unless he actually came from God. And so he went to find Jesus, and he wanted to find out, maybe if I talk with Jesus, maybe there might be some way for me to find out some kind of wisdom, some kind of knowledge to really bring me closer to God so that I can go on living in a relationship with God. You see, the similarity is that there is this inherent understanding that there is this idea of life that's beyond what we're experiencing today. There's something more important to this life. There's something more important about life in general than what we're experiencing today. These are the moments, whether it be Peter Scott Morgan or whether it be Nicodemus, the moments when we experience some type of troubling event in our lives, or when we experience something incredible happen. These are the moments when we stop and we begin to ask that question, what is life really all about? Normally, we don't think about questions like this. We're just so busy with our lives. We're just so busy with studying, with our work, with our family. We're just so busy that we don't take the time to think about this question. What is life really all about? Again, the title of today's sermon is Life. And if you would, I want us to all consider together today. Take this time today, because normally we just don't have the time to think about such questions. Would you take the moment today, as I'm speaking about this topic, take this moment to think about what life is really all about? The main idea for today is this. Choose life. And it looks like we're having some technical difficulties again. So can I get the... Yes, thank you. Oh, it changed. Let me just get set up here. The main idea for today is this. Choose life. And we'll be talking about what life is really all about. And we're going to go through 3 points. Number one, eternal life? Question. Number two, obtaining life. And number three, life. Again, the simple idea for today is to choose life. And we're going to go through these three points. Eternal life, number two, obtaining life, and number three, life. You see, the promise that we find in our passage today is about having eternal life. Now, remember we were talking about Nicodemus, right? And Nicodemus appears before Jesus. Sorry, my voice is cracking a little bit today. And it's okay to laugh when my voice cracks. I had this insane allergic reaction to something last night, and it was deep in my lungs for some reason, and so my voice is not coming out as normal today, so please excuse my cracks here and there. We're talking about eternal life and how the passage is promising living forever. And we talked about how previous to this particular passage is the story about how Jesus meets with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus says, you must be someone that comes from God, because no one that comes from God would be able to do these miracles. And Jesus answered him, and this is what it says in chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, a lot of times when we think about life, we're thinking about this physical realm. And so when Jesus says, you must be born again, Nicodemus had no other way of understanding this. He said, I'm supposed to be born again? Am I supposed to somehow go back into my mother's womb? That's impossible. And this idea of being born again, it sounds a little bit strange, doesn't it? Maybe some of you that have a little bit of a past of being in a different religion, maybe it sounds a little bit like reincarnation. We need to be born again and again and again, and somehow we need to relive this life in a better way. That's what it sounds like, right? But Jesus expands on this idea, and he tells the people that, and the passage explains, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, this idea of being born again is not just about, or rather I should say, it's not about being physically born again, but this idea of being born again is about having eternal life. It's about living forever. But as we think about that idea, as we think about the idea of living forever, some of us may not necessarily like that idea of living forever. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But me personally, I've seen an example even recently where I know a person would probably say they would not want to live forever. And the reason why they would not want to live forever is because if you live forever in a world where you're suffering, you would not be happy. If your life is in a terrible place right now, or if you can just say with your own words, my life just sucks, then when you hear this idea of living forever, it does not sound like a good idea. Rather, maybe some of us have even contemplated the idea of wanting to give up on life, of wanting to escape life. And so, eternal life? Is that really a good thing? Those of you that are Christians, I want you to think about this carefully. We always talk about John 3:16, and we say the promise is eternal life, and it really is talking about living forever. But for you, do you want to live forever? If we imagine our own lives living with constant pain or anguish, or sorrow. That is not something that we would want to see happen forever. So then we have to ask, what's attractive about this promise of eternal life? What's so good about having eternal life, about living forever? We see Jesus goes on to explain a little bit more in another passage. Later on in John, Jesus is speaking to the crowds at this point, and he says to the people, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." You see, Jesus explains a little bit more about what life is supposed to be. Living forever is not just about living forever, but it's about living according to what life was supposed to be all about. You see, all of us, we have this idea, this vision of what we want our lives to look like. We have this understanding of what life is supposed to look like. And all of us, we have this heart that chases after that. We want life to go on in the way that we want it to be. We have a vision. We have an understanding of what an ideal life is supposed to look like. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Jesus says, "I came that you may have the life that you're hoping for. I came that you may have life the way that life was supposed to be meant to be, it was supposed to be lived." Now, the only way to experience this kind of life is if we have a relationship with God. Because when we have a relationship with God, God gives us the ability to understand what this life is supposed to be all about. And it's going to be a life that's filled with joy, a satisfying life, a content, even a productive life. Because God Himself is the source of life. God is the creator of this world. God is the one that brought life into this world. He's not the one that brings death into this world. He's the one that brought life into this world. The thing that brings death into this world is what we call sin. When we have a relationship with God, then we experience life. We experience abundant life. But when we fall into sin, when we turn away from God, this is when we begin to feel the effects of death. I like the way how our elder David McCrail put it this morning in a conversation that I had with him. He said that in this life, we continue to experience these many deaths. It's not the ultimate death yet. But even as we're living right now, we experience these many deaths, whether it be through sickness, whether it be through sadness, whether it be through mental health issues, whether it be through broken relationships. We experience these many deaths in our lives. And that's not what life was supposed to be all about. Jesus Christ said that He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. Now, if what we're experiencing today is this life of many deaths because of sin, then how are we supposed to obtain life? Right? We want to have that eternal life idea, the abundant life idea. We want to have that idea through a relationship with God. But then how are we supposed to obtain that? How are we supposed to experience that? Some of us here might be asking that very question. You've been striving so hard to live a life where things can be a little bit more comfortable, where things can be a little bit more abundant, where things can be a little bit more relaxing, less stressful, where maybe your family can be a little bit more happier, where your relationship with your spouse can be a little bit better in some way. We chase after this idea called life. This idea, this ideal of what life was supposed to look like. Again, the reason why we have this picture in mind is because God created us with an idea, with an understanding that yes, there is something more to this life, and what that is a relationship with God. But a lot of times what we do, and I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to us Christians, a lot of times what we end up doing is that we seek that ideal not in our God. We just kind of believe that idea. We just kind of say that we believe and that we're a Christian. But in our actual daily lives, what we do is that we seek that ideal life through the things in this world. Let me give a couple examples. And you think about carefully, is this what you're experiencing yourself? Even if you are a Christian, is this what you experience? Are you one of those people that have come to Taiwan thinking that you've gone through so much in your home country, so many difficulties, and through your own efforts, through your own ability to study or to work hard, you have now come here to Taiwan to make a better life? And you're hoping that here in Taiwan that you will have a more successful or a more comfortable life. Is that you? Or maybe some of you, you might be a person that has come to Taiwan thinking that this particular job that has brought you to Taiwan, this particular opportunity to come and work here for this special project, this thing will allow my family to be provided for. I will be able to make enough money through this particular project, through this particular business opportunity. I'll be able to make enough money to provide for my family, and it's going to feel good to know that I'm doing a good job. Not only am I doing a good job myself, but I'm being a good family man. And you're chasing after that kind of ideal. Or perhaps you're a person that has come to Taiwan seeking adventure. You've come to Taiwan thinking that if I come to Taiwan, I'll be able to travel. I'll be able to go to places here and there. I'll be able to spend time in different locations and get different kinds of experiences. And I'm going to live a life of adventure. And that's your ideal. Until COVID hits, right? Or perhaps you're a person that has come back to Taiwan thinking that your hard-earned education abroad, everything that you experienced and everything that you learned abroad, that would bring you back here to Taiwan and you will be able to get a good job. You won't have to worry about life anymore. You don't have to feel the pressures of life anymore because you studied abroad, and now that will give you the opportunity to find a good job here. What is the ideal that you're looking for? What is your particular prayer that you keep praying? Is it about a healthier life? Is it about wanting to become healthy so you don't have to have all kinds of sicknesses when you get older? Is it about wanting to find a comfortable lifestyle? What is it that you're chasing after? It might be just something simple like, I just want my kids to be quiet today, right now. What is it that you're chasing after? Where are you trying to obtain that life that you're thinking that life, the way that life should be? Where are you looking? What are you chasing after? How are you trying to obtain this abundant life? At the core of all of this, at the core of all of these different examples, and perhaps your own specific example, at the core of it all, is that each person is seeking for something greater than what they're experiencing on earth right now. Each of us are seeking something that will finally satisfy us. Something that will finally give me hope beyond what I'm experiencing. Something that will finally give me rest and joy and peace. Something that will just quiet everything down where I can just finally breathe. But what we experience in this world over and over again is the same old result of disappointment, of loneliness, of broken relationships. What we experience over and over again is this desire for something more. You see, Jesus tells Nicodemus, the only way that you can really experience life, the only way that you can really experience what eternal life is really all about, the only way that you can obtain this life is to be born again. And being born again is not physically going into your mother's womb or being reincarnated in some kind of way. But being born again is spiritually being born again. It's this idea of being awakened to the idea that you are chasing after something that's not God. It's being awakened to the idea that you realize that all of these things that you're chasing after will continue to disappoint you. And that there is not life to be found in any of these things. It's about being born again and realizing that the only way that you can really experience life is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in a relationship with God, the creator of this world. It's in a relationship with God who created life, the giver of life. You see, the thing is that today and every day, you will always make choices. You will make a choice either to find life through God, through Jesus Christ, or you will find life, or you'll try to find life in something else. And here's what the Bible tells us. When you try to find life in something else, what you will experience is ultimately death. In this life, there will be many, many deaths. But ultimately, you will perish. You will die spiritually. You will ultimately die. And the reason is because through our desire to seek out life in other things, we have rejected God, the giver of life. We've rejected God. Any day, any moment in our lives that we make the choice not to find our life in Christ, but rather to find our life in something else, that is that moment when we reject God and we sin against God. And we are deserving to perish. We are deserving to die. So the question remains, how do we actually obtain this life? How do we find life? Because no matter how much we try on our own, we're not going to be able to find life ourselves. And there's nothing in this world that will help us to experience life in the way that it was supposed to be lived. I've been saying over and over again, it's through Jesus Christ. But even if on our own we try our best to try to find life through Jesus Christ, it's not going to happen. It's really difficult. No matter how much you try yourself to try to find life through Jesus Christ even, there will continually be these doubts that exist in your mind. There will be continually these doubts about whether God loves you or not. It's just a struggle. And so this last point, we're not talking about us finding life, but we're talking about God, Jesus Christ, who is life. You see, when we look at our passage once again, it starts off, you know, we focused on the latter part, eternal life. We talked about how people don't have to perish, but they can experience eternal life. But in the beginning of this passage, it says, "For God so loved the world." You see, it starts off with the idea that there is a God, the giver of life. And this God is not a God that just created the world and made it work like AI, made it work like a machine, and just said, "All right, you do whatever you want now." That's not the kind of God that God is. The giver of life, our God, who is the source of life, He loves this world. He loves His people. And the interesting thing is that a lot of times when we think about this, we think, "For God so loved the world." Maybe some of us, we think about it in this kind of way, that God loved us so much. But actually, that's not what this passage says. When you look at the original language, when you look at the original Greek, the word "so" is not this idea of extreme kind of love. That's not the idea. You have to look at the previous passages right before this to understand what it's saying. Because what it's actually saying is, "For God in this way loved the world." In what way? In what way did God love the world? Well, if we look at the next passage, or the passage right before, it says this. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life." You see, Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus that there was a time in history, way back in ancient times, and this was a time, even for Nicodemus, it was ancient times. But Nicodemus knows this story full well. He knows this story really well. Jesus mentions there was a time when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. What is that talking about? Well, what happened was that the people, they wanted to find life. The people of Israel, they're walking through the wilderness, and they're wanting to find life, and they started complaining. They said, "You know, God brought us out into this wilderness. He rescued us out of Egypt, and now we're here. But now we're suffering. We want a better life. Why can't we eat the food that we want to eat? Why can't we drink the drinks that we want to drink? We're here, and we're suffering." God was with them the whole time. God is saying, "You have life with me if you would just turn to me." But the people, they would turn away from God, and they would just complain and complain and complain. And so what God did was that God would allow them to experience a mini death in that moment without completely killing them. Some of them, they did die. But the way that that happened was that serpents came out from the desert and they started biting people, and some people started dying. And Moses prays. And Moses says, "God, these are your people. Would you please rescue them?" And so you see, God doesn't say, "No. Don't you know what these people do? They continually turn away from me." That's not what God says. God doesn't say, "No, I'm a holy God. They should know what's right from wrong, and they didn't do what's right. I can't believe they still turn away from me. I told them so many times." That's not what God says. What God did and what God says is actually an act of love. He says, "I hear your prayer. and I will save my people. What I want you to do is I want you to make a bronze serpent, a statue. And I want you to put it on a stick. And I want you to have all the people look at this serpent that's on a stick. Because whenever a person looks at that serpent that's on a stick, they will be saved. They will have life. They will be rescued. And so it says in this passage, in the same way, Jesus Christ needs to be lifted up on the cross, and he will die for the sins that his people committed. Jesus will die, and whoever looks to Jesus Christ will be saved, will experience life, will have a relationship with God. You see, the reason why this is possible is because, as in previous sermons, I already mentioned this. When we sin against God, God has every right to say, you are sinners, you are deserving of death, you must perish. God has every right to say that. But Jesus prays on our behalf. And Jesus says, these are my people. These are your people, Father. Would you have mercy on them? I will die for them. I will go to the cross for them. I will perish for them. I will take their punishment for them. I will do it so that they don't have to. And so that all that's left for my people is your love. So you see, God, in this way, not having a heart to want to punish and cause people to perish, but in the same way that he acted in the past, he's the same way that he would act during the time of Jesus, and he's the same God today. God is a God of love. God is a giver of life, and God wants to give you life today. God loves the world in this way. He's not a God that wants people to perish. He's a God that wants people to experience life. God doesn't want you to continue to go on living the way that you're living. God wants you to have a relationship with him and to experience life in him. And that's why he gave his only son. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross. And not only that, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he really came to life. He is alive. If he wanted to, he could appear in front of us right now and we wouldn't see a spirit roaming around. What we would see is his actual body, and you would be actually able to touch his body. He is actually alive. And the incredible thing is that he rose again to prove that he is the giver of life. To prove that he is able to raise you to life. Even if you were to die, he will raise you back to life. Even if you are sick today, he will raise you back to life and make you whole. He rose again from the dead to conquer sin and to conquer death. He is alive. And that's why today, if you put your hope in Jesus Christ, if you trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you and you have a relationship with him, today you can experience a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the giver of life. And that changes our whole mindset. So that when we look at the situations that we face today, it's no longer about me trying to chase after life. I already have life. So then my purpose in living today is no longer about trying to find my peace, trying to find my rest, trying to find my comfort, trying to become whole in this physical body. It's no longer about that. My life now becomes about enjoying this life because I have a relationship with God. Enjoying what it means to succeed the way that God wants me to succeed. Even when I'm facing disease and trials, to be able to still say, I'm okay because God is with me. Through all the valleys and all the trials, God is still with me and he will never leave me because he's the God that's alive and he's not going away. And so brothers and sisters, and also for those of you that are not believers in Jesus Christ, I want to share with you, choose life. Every day, choose life by turning to Jesus, the author, the giver, the creator of life. Choose life. And Jesus, who has conquered death, who gives life, will give you life. All you have to do is just remember, think back, and remember every day, Jesus Christ died for my sins. Jesus Christ really was buried. He really did die for me. He took my punishment. He took all my guilt and my shame. And the last thing is that he really did rise again from the dead so that in my relationship with him today, he is really with me. He can be with me. As I've said, I've spoken with a lot of people the past few weeks and even days, people sharing with me about how people have suffering, how they have been sick, how they've been dealing with different things. But today I want to remind you that even when we do face these trials, it's going to be okay. God is the giver of life. And in our relationship with him, we can experience life today. So turn to him, put your trust in him, and choose life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this day that you have made. This day, especially on this Easter Sunday, where we could remember that Jesus Christ did rise again from the dead. And Lord, there are many times that we do fail. We don't look to you to find our life, but Lord, today, may we look to you. And even if it is difficult for us to look to you, Lord, we thank you that Jesus is interceding for us. He is continually praying for us. Thank you that Jesus is alive. And thank you, Lord, that you are continually fighting and on our side. You are making us into more than conquerors. And you tell us that nothing can separate us from your love. And so, God, we thank you so much for these things. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in every single person's heart here that has heard this sermon. Lord, would you remind us and teach us and help us to put our trust in you who gives life to us. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.